It is 5 o'clock then on Wednesday, the 10th of February 2021. Welcome to the Richie Allen Show. Are you well today? Please get in touch with me. I always say it, but I mean it. It's at BBG Richie on Twitter. I'd like to hear your thoughts today. Got a very good show lined up for you. Hayden Hewitt will join me a bit later on. He'll be with me in the second hour. We've got some interesting things to discuss, do Hayden and I. Welcome to Wednesday's programme. Good to be with you as always. Good to be with you.
It's the BBG, not the BBC. You're listening to the Richie Allen Radio Show, live from Salford in Greater Manchester.
It's the Richie Allen Show, broadcasting live on richieallen.co.uk and multiple platforms around the world. And now, here's your host, Richie Allen.
Ah, sure, I did a very stupid thing today, didn't I? I went to clear the cache on my computers. I went to clear the cache, and I didn't uncheck the box that says delete all the passwords. I didn't do that because I'm a big Egypt with a capital E, and I don't remember half the passwords. Early onset dementia, methinks. I've got to try and remember some passwords now. I'll have to give myself a talking to. Hayden Hewitt in the second hour. Now, when Hayden comes on, one of the things we will discuss is of great interest to you. When speaking with my friend this morning, we often chat during the week. I talked about something with him. I mentioned to him that I've been discussing on this programme recently that there are some people who are, let's just say, wide awake. They have a fair idea that something is very wrong, but they will be compelled to take one of the vaccines. That is a serious issue. It doesn't get any more grave. Imagine you know the danger of taking one of these vaccines, but you're not so much in a catch-22 situation. In fact, you can't avoid having it. Now, I spoke with Hayden about that this morning because that kind of impacts him and others. I'm not putting words in his mouth in terms of I couldn't tell you what he feels about the pandemic and all the rest of it, but he was talking about the vaccine and facing up to the fact that he might very well end up having it. You don't want to miss that. We'll talk about that in hour two. Hayden Hewitt, of course, is famous around the world as one of the founders of LiveLeak.com, one of the biggest websites in the world, and a good friend of mine. He'll be with me a bit later on. Okay. Alrighty. It's already coming up to 3 minutes past five. No news bulletins. I'm going to go with a new provider, I think. I'm going to find some mainstream news somewhere, something a bit fun, and bring that to you at the top of the hour. I do that, you see, because the programme does go out on platforms. Some of them don't even have the manners to tell me. But for the timings, it's an atomic clock thing. It's good to have the 3 minute bulletin. And look, you don't need to hear any of that. Let's move on. A lot of stuff on richieallen.co.uk today. There are new articles up there every day. And I did share something from vernoncoleman.com, which is very interesting. If you follow Vernon on brandnewtube.com, you will be watching an old man in a chair. Very important episode went up yesterday. That episode about the dangers, the inherent danger in taking a PCR test. Funnily enough, when I shared that video to the Richie Allen Facebook page last night, it was deleted by Facebook a short time later. That's just the way of it, I suppose. Facebook says, we've got fact checkers, man. We've got fact checkers, man. And that Vernon Coleman is a big liar. That's what Facebook is saying. Of course, he isn't a big liar, because everything he said in his video, he has substantiated. He has provided evidence to support it. But that's Facebook, isn't it? So if you're thinking about having a PCR test, if you get a phone call from your local council to say that a brand new variant has been discovered down your cul-de-sac, just down your cul-de-sac, and the council is rushing to your front door with a PCR test, you might want to check out what Vernon Coleman has been saying. VernonColeman.com. If you find it difficult to navigate his antiquated website, you can find that article, richieallen.co.uk. Let me tell you who I love. I love Grace Ann Kelly. Why do I love Grace Ann Kelly? I love her because she's Irish. And I love her because she's very funny. A very funny woman. She's an Irish actress and satirist. And you can find her on Twitter. She makes satirical skits, 60-second skits or 90-second skits. They are very funny because she's very witty. Here's the latest one about answering your children's questions. Grace Ann Kelly. Glad to share this.
Mom, how come the Super Bowl and the Six Nations can be played, but I can't play sport with my friends? Because the government said it's the rules. How come Dad's business is closed down, but Amazon's isn't, even though the World Health Organization said lockdowns were unnecessary? And how come the Amazon guys can deliver all over the country, but we can't go beyond 5K? Because the government said it's the rules. How come we're getting PCR tested, even though we're completely healthy? Because the government said it's the rules. How come the guards can dance on television, but we can't go to our friends' houses? Because the government said it's the rules. How come people are wearing two masks now, even though Fauci said they were completely unnecessary last year? Because the government said it's the rules. How come we can't hug our nan and granddad? Because the government said it's the rules. How come you can buy cigarettes but I can't buy toys? Because the government said it's the rules. Will you get the vaccine even if there is a 99% recovery rate? If the government says. Who governs the government, Mummy? We do, dear. Could you ask the government, can we start living again?
Can you ask the government, can we start living again? Now, that's Grace Ann Kelly. Find Grace Ann Kelly on Twitter. Do give her a follow and say hello to her. She's lovely. She really is. Now, this isn't so funny. Elton John. Elton John. We've got tickets to see Elton John. We bought them last year. We should have seen him in October or November. I can't remember. Last year, 2020. And the gigs have been postponed till late this year, 2021. Now, I don't believe that I'll be allowed to go and see Elton John, the tiny dancer. I won't be allowed to go because I won't have the virus or the test. Or the Schmirus. I won't have the virus, the vaccine against the virus, I mean. Or the 27 variants that will inevitably pop up between now and the gig. You see? So I probably won't be going. Do you know what depressed me today? I got an email from Ticketmaster. And Ticketmaster said, no. I haven't bought tickets to see Queen and Adam Lambert. Why? Because I saw them 2 years ago. And they were very good. But I don't want to see them again. Because once is enough. Right? It's not Freddie. He's very good, Adam Lambert, actually. And it's good to see Roger and Brian. Anyway, I didn't buy tickets, but I got an email today saying, wait for it, this is how bad it's getting. Prepare to be depressed. An email today said, Queen and Adam Lambert has rescheduled its concerts now until summer 2022. Those concerts were due to take place last year. They didn't because of COVID. They were rescheduled for summer this year. Now Queen and Adam Lambert are like, well, we're not going to be playing this year, so let's postpone till 2022. How depressing is that? Anyway, Elton John and Michael Caine have made an ad for the National Health Service to urge you and me to have the jab. You were only supposed... No, I'm not even going to try and attempt to do a Michael Caine accent. You were only supposed to have the bloody jab. Listen to this. This is genuine. It isn't a satirical effort. Elton John, Michael Caine, for the NHS. I'm going to play it completely uninterrupted, unedited. And, well, it is a bit mad. They want you to have the jab.
People here are very concerned.
Ah! Let's try again. That was a mistake. Was that a mistake from Richie Allen? It was. I don't make mistakes very often. Here's Elton John, Michael Caine. You listen.
Elton John, audition, take one.
My name is Elton John.
Cut there. Little less showbiz, Elton.
My name is Elton John.
Bit more showbiz.
My name is Elton John.
Let's go for your Michael Caine impression. Just let's see what it's like.
My name is Elton John.
Beautiful. Cut there.
The more people in society that get vaccinated, the more chance there is of eradicating the national COVID pandemic. It's really important to know that the vaccines have all been through and met the necessary safety and quality standards.
So this is the bit where you're going to have the vaccine now, Elton. So right. Just kind of pretend that you're having the vaccine from a nurse.
Oh!
What was that, Elton?
That was me acting.
Okay, let's cut there.
And as you can see, I'm still standing. Yeah.
Wow. Okay. Thanks, Elton. We'll let you know.
Oh. Well, at this short notice, you won't find anyone bigger.
Thank you. Hello. My name is Michael Caine. I've just had a vaccine for COVID. It didn't hurt. Not many people know that.
And cut there. Marvellous. That was fantastic.
Thank you.
Sir Michael. Claire, let the little fella know he didn't get the job.
Let the little fella know he didn't get the job. Elton John and Michael Caine doing an ad for the NHS. Now, the funny thing about that is, in the video, if you watch it on the BBC website, you see a medic stepping away from Michael Caine, but you don't see the plunging of the needle into his arm. You don't see the plunging of the needle into his arm. Now, I'm not saying that Michael Caine didn't get the jab. He might well have gotten the jab. I don't know. How could I know if he got the jab or not? I got the jab this morning. So I'm a bit speedy now. This is the Richie Allen Radio Show, live from Salford in Greater Manchester. My name is Richie Allen. It is the BBG, not the BBC. Lots of news analysis coming your way between now and 6 o'clock. Second hour, Hayden Hugh at LiveLeak.com. Don't miss them. Chaka Khan. Chaka Khan. That's Rufus and Chaka Khan, 14 minutes past 5. The song is Ain't Nobody, great 80s tune. I think 89, am I right? I'm always right. Let's move swiftly on. Sky News today. They weren't alone now. Ramped up the old fear porn in Bristol. You've probably heard this by now. I did write about it today. There's another viral variant. The Kent COVID strain, which we were told was potentially very serious and more transmissible, has allegedly mutated again. The Kent strain has mutated again into another potentially dangerous strain, and it's been discovered in Bristol. Okay? That means that thousands of testing kits will be pushed through letterboxes in postcodes in Bristol. Hundreds of volunteers will decamp to the city and offer a test to otherwise healthy Bristolians. So they'll say to Bristol folks, swab yourself there and give us back the samples. The Deputy Chief Medical Officer, Jonathan Van Tam, was on the BBC this morning. We'll hear from him shortly. And he said there are thousands now of COVID-19 mutations. Some of them will be dangerous. The Prime Minister, Boris Johnson, told the House of Commons this lunchtime that there will be new COVID variant jabs for everybody in the autumn, and we'll hear from Boris Johnson as well a little bit later on. Maybe right soon, maybe. Enda Brady, Sky News, the bravest reporter in the world, is in Bristol, which must be looking like Da Nang now or Ho Chi Minh City, with the destruction about to be caused by this new variant. Here's Enda Brady, Sky News. Interesting stuff, this.
People here are very concerned. Public health officials say what they're doing with this surge testing in 24 postcode areas all dotted around Bristol and South Gloucestershire is effectively an investigatory response. Public health officials say they want to shine a light into the community, really, do this big push of testing over several days. Anyone over the age of 16 living in those 24 Bristol postcode areas is being asked to come forward and have a COVID test, whether they have symptoms or not. And in that way, scientists will be able to study all of that data and look at how the virus is evolving, how this mutation has popped up here in the west of England, and what they can do to suppress it. So speaking to people here, they're telling me that, you know, the last couple of days it has been very, very busy. There are three key testing sites in the Bristol area. We're live here at one of them. It's been extremely quiet today. I'd say a steady trickle of people driving in, getting tested and then driving out, but nowhere near the numbers, certainly yesterday, that locals have been telling me. So it is concerning, but the reaction from public health officials has been to basically, you know, organise this surge testing and investigate how this virus mutation has popped up here and what they can now do about it.
Enda, we've also had news today about symptoms that need to be watched out for. What can you tell us?
So this is a comprehensive study.
Now, yeah, he's going to talk about the Imperial College London study. They've been studying what sort of symptoms you can get from coronavirus. Now, we've learned, haven't we, me and you, over the last few months, that coronavirus is the most unusual respiratory infection the world has ever known. It can lead the victim to, well, it can result in you hearing voices, running around stark bonkers naked, as we learned from the French. And it can also give you COVID toes. I'm not making any of this up. Coronavirus is serious. And Imperial College London, which gave Niall Ferguson to the world. Well, Imperial College London, the big survey, Enda Brady's going to tell us about the symptoms that COVID might give you.
It's a study from Imperial College London. It's REACT study, which takes in 1 million swabs and questionnaires that were conducted and completed between June of last year and January just gone. And what they found that, in addition to the classic COVID symptoms of fever and persistent cough and loss of taste and sense of smell, they found that basically a lot of people who were testing positive that they surveyed were experiencing loss of appetite as well, chills up and down their body, headaches and muscle ache. And they found also that 60% of people in the survey group of more than 1 million people had no symptoms whatsoever in the week that they tested positive. Age groups, they found that the headache symptom was basically reported predominantly by young people aged 5 to 17, and loss of appetite was predominantly amongst people aged 18 to 54. So a lot more information about symptoms, how the virus is evolving and how it has affected people. But that's a very respected and comprehensive study from Imperial College London published in the past couple of hours.
Oh, God, he makes me ashamed to be Irish, that Omadhon, Enda Brady there. Omadhon, Ufosok, Bosco, eh? Marion and Philip and the gang. Omadhon, Ufosok. He's an Irish guy, that guy. Jesus Christ. I saw, 2 years ago, I was in Manchester and I saw grown men running around like fools. And they had their mobile phones held out in front of their faces. And they were running around like idiots, like ridiculous dudes. And I asked one of them what he was doing and he said he was playing a Pokemon game. He was playing a Pokemon game. Effectively, he had an app on his phone and he turned it on. And you go around the world looking for hidden Pokemons. And you do this by pointing the phone on your camera at locations, random locations. Grown men now. Grown men. I cried into my beard that afternoon. I despaired at the human race. But anyway, let's go virus hunting now. Let's go virus hunting. They should give a set of steak knives or a speedboat to the first person in the country to contract all the variants. That's what they should do. We should all go around the country trying to get the various variants into our systems. Getting a test then would be like buying a scratch card, wouldn't it? Get your PCR test. You'd be getting loads of PCR tests. The first person in the country, the first one to have all the different variants, to have tested positive for all the different variants, would be given, I don't know, an estate somewhere in Suffolk with 60 acres or something like that. That'd be the job, wouldn't it? So you'd be getting tests all the time, you know. Get your test, bring it back. Is it the Brazilian variant? It's not. Fuck! I only need the Brazilian variant. I'm only one away. I'll come back on Friday. Who needs the Euro Millions? Is it the Ballymun variant? Bastard, I'll come back again next week. And so on, so on, so on. 22 minutes past five. Boris Johnson was quick to tell us today that vaccines are the future. Lovely vaccines are the future for you and me forever and ever. Amen.
Why we recently announced an agreement for 50 million doses with the manufacturer CureVac, because we believe that that may help us to develop vaccines that can respond at scale to new variants of the virus. And as the House will have heard from the Chief Medical Officer and the Deputy Chief Medical Officer and others, I think we're going to have to get used to the idea of vaccinating and then revaccinating in the autumn as we come to face these new variants.
Yeah, we will. Revaccinating. He got that from Jonathan Van Tam yesterday.
My advice to you is very simple. Do not delay. Have the vaccine that will protect you against the current threat. And don't worry, you can be revaccinated.
You can be revaccinated again and again and again and again and again. It's like when you went to the supermarket years ago and they gave you stamps. Do you remember your mammy getting stamps at the supermarket checkout and putting them in a little cardboard, a little fold, a little book? Yeah, you'll have your... except it'll be on your phone. It'll be all digital. Revaccinated. Anyway, enough of that messing now. This isn't funny. There's nothing funny about this. So obviously, we'll be keeping some restrictions until the autumn then. Anyway, Transport Secretary Grant Shapps told the news media this morning, don't bother your behinds booking a holiday. Forget about it. Forget about it. No holidays this summer. There you are. Just don't book one. Johnson was only repeating Van Tam. Van Tam. Now, Jonathan Van Tam, the Deputy Chief Medical Officer, was answering questions again on the BBC this morning. Answering questions from listeners. He loves these analogies. A woman rang up and said, I had the vaccine. And then a few days later, I was sneezing and I felt bad. I had a test and it was coronavirus. But I took the vaccine. What's going on? Here's Jonathan Van Tam's response.
The vaccines are never 100% effective. And although you are, unfortunately, one of the people who's still caught coronavirus, there are many, many, many more people in your position who, without the vaccine, would have caught the coronavirus, and because they've had it, now haven't. And we're hoping that there'll be data coming out soon that are going to make that point pretty clearly.
Oh, God. He has an answer for everything, doesn't he? Got the jab, and a few days later, I got the virus. Yeah, don't worry about it. Vaccines are not 100% effective. Move on. There was a Freudian slip from Jonathan Van Tam then.
They were quite mild symptoms, and that may well be...
Oh, yeah, he's referring to her again, that her symptoms were mild, right?
They were quite mild symptoms, and that may well be the fact that the vaccine has given you a milder illness, allowed you to have a milder illness than you would other...
How was that? That was good, that bit in the middle. I love that bit. That was good.
The vaccine has given you a milder illness, allowed...
The vaccine has given you a milder illness.
...you to have a milder illness than you would other have had without it. And back to my point that... I do believe these vaccines are going to avoid serious illness.
Yeah. If I was Paddy Power or Ladbrokes, I'd be running a book on whether Jonathan Van Tam has ever had sex in his life. And I would put whatever money I have in my bank account on him never having had sex in his life. He's then asked about the Kent variant and the South African variant and which one is the worst and which one is the dominant strain. And we get an analogy from Jonathan Van Tam, and the media loves him. He is absolutely idolised by the media. When he's not on the media, he is discussed by the media. He's great, isn't he? Isn't he great, Jonathan Van Tam? Oh, he's great, all right, Nicky, he's great. I love his analogies, like when he talks about the penalty shootout and all that. Where are we now, Jonathan? Well, right now, we're in the middle of a penalty shootout. This is the sort of crap you get from this guy who's supposed to be a scientist. So he was asked this morning, which is the worst variant? Which is the most dominant? What's going on? We get an analogy, and these analogies are brilliant.
Professor, you said a little earlier, and in a recent press conference, that the Kent variant would be the dominant strain here. What do you base that on, and why are you so convinced that the South African strain is not going to become a big, big problem?
Right, so I didn't say the Kent variant would be the dominant strain. I said it is the dominant strain, and as far as the testing and sequencing goes, it's over 90% of our cases are now from that variant that was first identified in Kent. Now, the reason I said the South African variant was not of concern or unlikely to take over in the next few months is because the rate of growth of the South African variant, as far as we are monitoring it, and remember I gave you a figure earlier of, you know, significantly under 200 cases that we know about, it is not overtaking. And if you have let me do it this way. If you're running a bath and you've got the hot water tap on and you add in a very small amount of cold water, so that the cold tap is running as well, but at really a very low volume, your bath water is basically going to remain hot. It's only if that cold tap was gushing much more than the hot tap was that the cold water would take over. And that's probably the best analogy I can give you at the moment. that there are no signs that that South African variant is kind of running at that speed at the moment.
Brilliant. The gift that keeps on giving, Jonathan Van Tam. Presenter just sits there, nodding. It's amazing, isn't it? How does he not laugh, the presenter? Anyway, Van Tam is then asked about misinformation and, thanks be to Jesus, he has another analogy.
I mean, I just wonder, on a personal level, when you see all these stories, misinformation, how does that make you feel? Angry? Frustrated?
I realise that the vast majority of people in the UK would prefer to take their advice on vaccines from trusted sources rather than from some of the nonsense that is circulated on social media.
Ah, they'd prefer to get their info from trusted sources, says Jonathan Van Tam. But on this very programme last night, we played a clip of Gabriel Scally telling people back in 2009 and 2010 that the swine flu vaccine is going to be 100% safe. It's perfect. It's good. You need it. Take it. You take it to protect your patients, he told doctors. You take it to protect your friends, he told the general public. A lot of people died. A lot of people came down with narcolepsy. A lot of people got sick with other autoimmune disorders. Did Gabriel Scally apologise to any of those people? I did put this point to my listeners last night. To you, I should say. So are we talking trusted sources? Because it's the same feckers. Gabriel Scally, Jonathan Van Tam, the same guys who told you take the swine flu vaccine. Nothing to worry about. You'll be all right. Same guys. And he's talking about trusted sources. You see, if there was any journalism, if there was a single presenter in the world left, if there was one left in the mainstream media, they would stop him and say, well, there's a good reason why people are a bit hesitant to take your vaccines, JVT. Well, the presenters are like nodding dogs. I said this the other day. Sit there, nod along and give softball questions.
You know, if my...
we get another analogy now.
If my central heating system breaks down, I'm going to call a heating engineer to explain to me what's wrong and what needs to be fixed and give me the advice on whether the system needs upgrading or whatever. I'm not going to ask a brain surgeon to do this. So why would you go to those kind of sources of information when you have really very readily accessible good sources from trusted voices in the NHS, your own health professionals that you know and see periodically through your life?
Oh, what a man, Jonathan Van Tam. This is Duran Duran from 1980 or 1981. I haven't a clue. I didn't look it up. Duran Duran, Girls on Film. Well, let's just say 1981 had a great video, didn't it? A great video. Very risque for the day, I think. The time is 26 minutes to 6 o'clock. Hayden Hewitt will be on the programme in the second hour. Let me just remind you of a couple of things. Firstly, my mate Dean Smith, who runs a care home in Sheffield, reminded me today about his uncle Trevor. Now, I'm very careful when talking about the vaccine. I hope you understand that I am not ever telling you what you should and shouldn't do. I've made my position clear on the vaccine. I couldn't have it. I won't have it. And those whom I love and I share my life with, I tell them what I know. And that's about the size of it. You make your own mind up at the end of the day, okay? I'm not saying it this way because I'm scared of recriminations. No, it's how it should be. It's not my place to tell you what to do. I am not a medical professional. Okay? Listen to people like Dr. Vernon Coleman. Listen to people like Sir Charit Bhakdi. Listen to Dolores Cahill. Make sure you hear those people. They are qualified people. I wouldn't tell you. But I'm hearing a lot from listeners about vaccine injury. A lot. And Dean Smith reminded me today that his 86-year-old uncle Trevor had suffered from pneumonia in the past, but he was a strong man, Trevor, and he'd fought it off a number of times. 3 years ago, he thought he was gone, basically, and wrote a song to his wife, but he got over it, did Trevor. Now, this year, his children talked him into getting the coronavirus vaccine. Now, Trevor was diabetic, and as Dean said, he was prone to pneumonia, so his immune system was compromised. He had the jab on January 13th, obviously this year, a few weeks ago. On the 17th, he felt really, really bad and he was admitted to Scarborough Hospital. 3 days after that, they diagnosed him with pneumonia. 2 more days later, they said he had tested positive for coronavirus. The sepsis attacked his kidneys and he died on the 28th of January. Sepsis went down as killer A on the death certificate. Killer B was listed as coronavirus. This was after the vaccine. Dean says that Trevor was as well as he had been for a while before the jab. He was still singing karaoke for the family, something that he loved. And that's it. That's Dean. And I had a message from Susan. And Susan said she'd be up for coming on the programme. She'd be happy to come on the programme. In fact, Susan tweeted this publicly yesterday. Her mother has become very, very ill after receiving the coronavirus vaccine. Very ill. And she tweeted about this. It's Susan Lewis on Twitter, at Susie L-L-E-W, at Susie S-U-S-Y-L-L-E-W. These reports are coming in, and I did mention a few times, and I should mention it again, that the one and only Dr. Vernon Coleman is documenting these adverse events on his website, which is vernoncoleman.com. Tory MP, the Conservative MP, Sir Charles Walker, is properly cheesed off with the government and Matt Hancock because there is no end in sight to the coronavirus restrictions and lockdown. He's particularly upset with the announcement that somebody deemed to be telling lies about the countries they have visited. And maybe they visited one of these red list countries. If you're found to be telling lies, you could be sent to prison for 10 years. Charles Walker is not happy. He's a lockdown sceptic of sorts. Here he is with Sky's Sarah Hewson today.
Well, I hope everybody wants the economy to be opened up again. But they will always argue that it's not the right time. Just another 6 months. We have the vaccines. We have the vaccines. We were told they were the way out of this. So we vaccinate the population, but you're still in lockdown. People are going to start scratching their heads and start wondering, what on earth is this all about? What the government is doing now is bordering on the very dangerous, to be perfectly honest. It is robbing people of hope. It is robbing people of something to look forward to, and it is very, very stupid and very, very short-sighted. Now, I don't hold the Prime Minister responsible for this, but I do hold his Secretaries of State responsible for this, and he needs to rein them in very, very quickly.
He's laying the blame at Matt Hancock's feet, basically. That's interesting.
Lord Sumption, appearing on Sky News earlier, said Matt Hancock, the Health Secretary, had lost his grip on reality, very angry about the travel restrictions that were brought in yesterday, announced yesterday to come into force on Monday, and in particular the potential sentences for those who break the rules and lie about where they've been. What do you make of that?
An utterly ridiculous thing for the Secretary of State for Health to say. Are we really going to lock people up for 10 years for being dishonest about the fact that they've been to Portugal? By all means, give them a fine. Give them a hefty fine, a few thousand pounds. Are you really seriously suggesting, Secretary of State, that we've got enough prison capacity to start locking up 19-year-old silly kids for 10 years? What a stupid thing to say. I mean, a really stupid thing to say.
He doesn't like Matt Hancock very much, does he?
...to say that demeans his office and his position around the cabinet table.
Sir Charles Walker, thank you very much indeed for talking to us this afternoon.
She couldn't wait to get him off the air. They make it so obvious, don't they, the news media? They're so disgusting. Now, when I say I've worked at every level of it, I've worked at every level. I really have. I'm eminently qualified. What was going on there was, as Charles Moore was ratcheting up his disdain for Matt Wankcock and his pals, forgive the bad language, don't forgive it, I don't care, one way or the other. As he was ratcheting it up, somebody in the gallery was saying to Sarah, Sarah, get him off. Get him off, Sarah. Get him off, lest the audience learn something, you know. That's what they do. Get him off. Oh, God. It's terrible. How can they do it? I don't know how they can look themselves in the mirror, these people that work at Sky News and the BBC. This will give you a bit of a smile. NHS worship is reaching ridiculous levels on the BBC. They must have interviewed every nurse, doctor and cleaner in the nation by now to tell them that they are our heroes. You are our heroes. You're great. And I was clapping for you every Thursday. I wasn't now. Calm down. But this is the presenters now on the BBC. We were clapping for you. You're great. You're on the front line there. You're on the front line and you're going over the top to take on the virus. So they've interviewed every nurse, doctor and cleaner. Do a little experiment. Go to the Twitter pages or the Twitter accounts for BBC Radio 5 Live and BBC Breakfast. Today, every other day, there's always somebody on there being congratulated. And you're tired, aren't you? I can see you're exhausted. I am. We're knackered. I don't know how long we can go on. But if you didn't do it for the nation, who would you do it for? To fight coronavirus. And it's brilliant. And it's hero worship and it's pathos laden. Pathos, buckets of pathos. It's crap, right? But they've run out of all the doctors and the cleaners and the nurses. So they're now down to the porters. They're bringing the porters on now onto the BBC.
To be honest, in work, a way of letting off steam is obviously time off as well is nice. But I do enjoy it when you're taking patients, because porters, most of the time, is people when people are going home, we're the ones that come and collect them and bring them to the front doors to come and get collected. Right. And it is nice to see the family waiting at the end of the corridor and seeing them smiling and waving after the long wait, waiting for your family member to come back. It is a nice feeling, and it makes you feel like my job is worth something.
Dangerous work, you know. Putting them in the chair. Warning them to keep their hands away from the wheels. Pushing them the 50 yards to the lift with the virus surrounding you. It's incredibly rewarding. That's bravery, that's bravery. Taking them in the trolleys up to the operating theatre. The soldiers of the NHS, the porters. I know. Is it mean-spirited? I just don't care. It's crazy stuff, is what it is. It's also 17 minutes to the top of the hour. They're bringing the porters on now. The porters. What sort of course do you have to do to be a porter? Now listen, I'm a working class boy from a working class community. All of my family are factory workers and bar workers, and I'm proud of it. I did it myself and I do it again tomorrow. So don't think I'm being in any way condescending. I'm not. But this is madness, isn't it? This bringing the porters on. Wow. Lord Sumption, Jonathan Sumption. Yes. Chief Justice or something or other. Wrote a scathing article in The Telegraph today about Matt Hancock and about restrictions. And he went on Adam Bolton's programme on Sky News, Adam Bunter Bolton. Bolton said, Lord Sumption, were you wrong to criticise last year's lockdowns in light of what we know today? Here's Lord Sumption.
Well, I think that last year's lockdowns achieved little or nothing except to defer the high peaks of infection to a later period. The current one is different in the sense that there is an exit route consisting in the vaccine. But the basic problem here is that it's not enough simply to say this saves lives. You've got to look at the price that this has in terms of human misery and wretchedness, in terms of really serious economic damage, and in terms of the educational disaster that we are inflicting on our children. There must come a point where, even if a measure is effective to save lives, the cost of doing so in all of those terms is simply too high. I think we reached that point quite a long time ago.
And you think it's time Matt Hancock went as Health Secretary?
The answer?
Well, I think there is a problem, and this is not personal about Matt Hancock in any way. There is a problem about ministers who've had their nose to the grindstone and been looking at exactly the same problem for months and months and months. The problem is that they do develop a kind of tunnel vision, which blinds them to the wider implication of what they're doing. Matt Hancock is the Health Secretary. He is only interested in health. But this is actually a multi-sided problem which involves many other aspects. And I think it is time to have somebody in charge of the health department who may be able to bring a slightly broader and less obsessive view to all this.
I've heard Sumption do interviews with other radio stations and there was never any such noise in the background when he was speaking. Nah, call me suspicious. I don't know. What do I know? What are you saying? I don't know, is what I'm saying. 14 minutes to 6. Hayden Hewitt from LiveLeak.com. And Trigger Warning Fame will be on with me in the second hour, and we are going to talk about the spectre of facing up to the possibility. Some people who know that this vaccine could do them irreparable harm might be facing up to the fact that they've no choice but to take their chances. We'll talk with Hayden about that particular subject and more in the second hour. I don't know if you saw this today, but Brighton and Sussex University Hospitals NHS Trust has told its midwives that they are to replace the word breastfeeding with chest feeding and to replace the term mother with mother or birthing parent as part of moves to be more trans-friendly. They want to be more trans-friendly. You get more gay, lesbian and trans people per square mile in Brighton, apparently, than you do in the rest of the country. But overall, trans people make up less than 1% of everybody in the UK. All right. So change breastfeeding to chest feeding. Change breast milk to human milk. Or use the term milk from the feeding mother or feeding parent. They also want to replace using the word woman with person and father with parent, co-parent, or second biological parent. Imagine, I mean, that's... Jesus. Who am I speaking with? Are you the second biological parent? Rather than saying, are you the daddy? You the father, are you? Are you the guy responsible for this mess? No, you'd have to say, are you the second biological parent? So it's a policy document. The Times is all over this. They want to be more inclusive because apparently it's a terrible world for trans people. It's a dangerous place. And two trans people die every 20 minutes because of people saying things like woman and womb and breasts. Two trans people just keel over, dead, disappear. So something's got to be done. The Labour Party's Richard Bergen was on Politics Live this afternoon, lunchtime, BBC Two. Listen to the Labour guy, the woke Labour guy, try to avoid criticising this madness.
It's the Brighton and Sussex Hospital NHS Trust. It's also in the mail, you'll be pleased to know, Richard. Hospital tells doctors, nurses and midwives to say birthing parents and human milk instead of mothers and breast milk because they risk offending transgender people. Is that the right way to go? Should other trusts follow Brighton and Sussex?
Go on, Richard. This is Labour's Richard Bergen. Have the balls to tell the truth and say it's crazy.
Well, the Daily Mail clearly has an agenda. And
he's blaming the Daily Mail now.
In that story, what we want to see is a realisation of the discrimination that trans people across this country and around the world face.
Right, should your hospital trust them do the same?
What we also want to see is better maternity pay rights and an end to discrimination against women in the workplace and in society. Whereas what the Daily Mail and right-wing conservative politicians want us to do is have endless debates on television about the use of language.
He wasn't getting to the heart of that. In fact, she tried again to get him to give an answer, but he wouldn't give an answer. Because the Labour Party, of course, has been hijacked by fuckwittery. High fuckwittery. Most Labour Muppets agree with this stuff. They agree with it. Let's change the language. Why? Well, because some trans people might be upset. Fuck them! Right? That's how it should be, shouldn't it? I don't have a conservative or a right-wing bone in my body. It's craziness. And it's not the Daily Mail trying to stir the shit. This is really happening. There wouldn't be a story in the Daily Mail or in the Times. I bet you Richard Bergen opens the Times when he's on train journeys just to impress his co-passengers, but he doesn't really read it because he can't understand words more than three syllables. I bet you that's the truth, right? Richard Bergen sitting there with his Times and he's never read an article. The reason it's in the newspapers is because it's happening. It's happening, this crazy stuff. And I don't have children. We don't have children yet, sadly, maybe in the future. It's happening because we're worried about it because they are introducing these crazy concepts to youngsters, right? You know, a man doesn't necessarily have a penis. A woman doesn't necessarily have a vagina. You could be born in the wrong body. Of course, the BBC is telling children through its educational videos, you might be one of 100 genders. And somebody said to me today, you sound very angry in your article about this. At the end of your article, you're very angry. You're very loud. Well, I am, because I'm sick of walking on eggshells around these people. And of course, the vast majority of transgender men and women, and something completely different, the vast majority of transsexual people, like Diane Denison, wonderful woman who came on this programme to explain what transsexualism is and her own experience, they think this is ridiculous and dangerous. But for the ones who don't, the younger ones being indoctrinated into it, the idiots who are coming out. I saw an article on the BBC the other day where this guy had a coming out party. He got his friends around and he came out. He came out as non-binary. That's just attention-seeking bollocks. You little bastard, I would have said to him. Piss off. Will you come to my party? What? I'm revealing myself. As what? I'm not telling you. You have to come to the party. Bring a present. Oh, I'll bring a present. I'll bring you a fucking present. Right. You get to the party. Well, what's the big deal? I'm non-binary. You're non-binary, are you? It's exactly 8 minutes to the top of the hour. This is Wednesday's Richie Allen Radio Show. It's the best goddamn radio show in Salford, I don't mind telling you. In Salford. I'm the BBG. I've got Hayden Hewitt joining me in about 10 minutes' time. I'll be reading your tweets shortly. Thanks for staying with me. This is the Mavericks. If you ever get a chance to see the Mavericks, if we ever get ourselves out of this madness. The Mavericks are amazing. We've seen them twice in Manchester in the last 4 years. Wonderful Raoul Mallow, one of the greatest singers you'll ever see in your life. Marvellous. Hey, I want to give a big shout out to Ray McLennan. How you doing, Ray? Ray was in touch with me via email the other day. Ray is a Murphy's drinker. Yeah, he's a Murphy's drinker. Real stout. Keep up the good work, says Ray, from a birth partner, from a significant other. And then Ray says, your show continues to make me laugh out loud. Thank you, Ray. Beamish, Murphy's or Guinness? That is the debate. Beamish or Murphy's? Murphy's is lovely. I was telling Ray, John Lowe came to the Waterford Institute of Technology back in 1993. John had just won the World Darts Championship at Frimley Green at Lakeside, the last one before they split into two groups of players, two organisations. And he came down to the WIT and local dart players played John in an exhibition and Murphy sponsored it. And because they sponsored it, they subsidised the price of the pints, meaning the pints of Murphy's were like 85 pence or maybe just short of a pound. Oh, it was some night that was. Watching John Lowe play. He did a great thing, John. During the game, he left himself on six. He left himself on six. So he shot three double ones with three darts. Fantastic. Fantastic marksmanship. John Lowe, old stone face. Hi to Rich Mortimer, who remembers my old rant about Pokemon about 3 years ago. Rich, I have tried my level best, my damnedest, to dig out the clip of me ranting about Pokemon, because not to be sending myself flowers, it was funny to listen back to. We were in Manchester and men and women were running around looking for imaginary feckin' creatures on their phones. I've never seen anything like it. Alan in Liverpool says, I'm not having it, sorry. I'm not arsed if you want to live as you want to live, but I'm not changing my language to accommodate a teeny-weeny minority, which would then help endanger real women's rights, which women have fought for thousands of years. That is batshit crazy, says Alan. Katrina says, what the feck is binary? Or should I not be asking? Thanks for the tweet, Katrina. Well, a non-binary person says that they're not bonded to any specific gender. I'm neither male, I'm neither female, I'm neither agender or pangender or cgender or fgender. I'm not unicorn, I'm not anything. I'm nothing. That's what the non-binary Muppets say. And I don't care either. Some bald woman called Christy something or other tried to get me done a couple of years ago for hate speech because I called her a feckin' idiot. This Christy woman, she wants to have the passports changed so that you can basically declare yourself to be non-binary on your passport. And the government said no. No, you baldy backstard. No. And I made merriment of that, and I wrote an article where I called Christy the non-binary woman bit of an idiot. She didn't like it one bit, and I didn't care. I'm still here, and I'll call her a bit of an idiot again. I mentioned Diane a few moments ago. Diane is into her Beamish. Ah, Beamish is lovely. Tell you what, Diane, even when I was in Ireland, and that was, I left Ireland in late 2003, never to return. Even then, it was difficult to get a pint of Beamish. Difficult. Nigel, are you listening? Where can you get Beamish in Waterford today? Where would you get it? You used to get it in the Munster Bar, but too many theatrical folks went in there. Too many divas like Jean-Anne Crowley. And you know what they're like, these arty-farty types, these theatre types, and these musical society types. Up their own arses they are. So I tended to avoid these places like the plague. That's just me. Hi to Pauline Watkinson. Dancing the night away with Mr. Daddy Longlegs variant, says Pauline. The Daddy Longlegs variant. It's coming soon. David is in Scotland and he can see Scotland prosecuting children for using any other term than parent. Who's that in your drawing, Tommy? Mummy, miss. Social services on the way. Book him, Dano. That child shouldn't be saying mummy. Brilliant stuff. Keep them coming in. Hi to Dominic Virgo as well. If I don't mention your tweet, it's not because I'm ignoring you, by the way. Lots of tweets are coming in. It's nearly time for us to join, or be joined even, by the one and only Hayden Hewitt. Always got something interesting to say, that boy. Always got something interesting to say. Back in a moment.
Renowned healer Mark Bajerski travels the world to find the most unique and powerful crystals for self-healing. Since the ancient times, crystals have been used as healing tools. They hold a natural healing vibration and are highly charged in positive energy. Mark teaches how to channel the universal energy and transfer it to the crystal to activate its healing power. Each crystal is used for its unique ability to target a different physical or emotional challenge. Mark Bajerski is an author, healer, speaker, and founder of the Pure Energy Healing Academy. He shares powerful messages of inspiration and healing on his daily YouTube videos, reaching millions worldwide. Mark's crystals, healing oils, and incense sticks are most sought after by other healers. His collection is available online at www.markbajerski.com. His work is presented through Lemon House, a company that creates and curates consciously made gifts.
Indeed, it's 2 minutes past the hour. Do check out richieallen.co.uk, the brand new website. Please check it out. I'm very pleased with it. Very pleased with it. John Rorty in New York, my pal John. How are you doing, John? Cracking me up, he said. Jean-Anne, a diva. She's a diva. Of course she is. You don't be in films like Educating Rita. You don't be in massive BBC TV television series. You don't do national theatre without being a bit of a diva. I'd be disappointed if she wasn't, to be honest. Although when she's come to see us in Manchester, I've never caught her running a white-gloved finger along the sideboard looking for dust. Never seen that. Either she's very good at disguising it, or she doesn't do it, one or the other. I don't know. I can't be telling you. RichieAllen.co.uk. Do please stay in touch with my friends, people whom I endorse. I don't endorse very many people, but I do in good conscience recommend you check out VernonColeman.com. If you haven't checked out Dr. Vernon Coleman, I'm sure you have. I'm sure you have. Listen, I know, but you mightn't have. VernonColeman.com. And my pal Spiro Skouras at activistpost.com, and, of course, and Spiro Skouras on YouTube. I had a bit of a brain freeze there. He's been tweeting me, has the boy Spiro. He's alive and well this afternoon on Central Time. Let me just bring up one of his tweets there, because he said something interesting to me. He always says something interesting to me, does Spiro. Let me go back to his tweet there. He says, "Richie, I'm no expert, but I find it very interesting that the Kent variant stems from the same region that the vaccine was first rolled out," said Spiro. Yeah, I find it interesting as well, to be honest with you. A lot of things we find interesting. But waiting, it's like patience waiting on a monument for a mainstream media presenter to ask questions of these people. Shall we get Hayden on? We will. We'll have Barry White first, though.
I've heard people say that...
7 minutes past six, Barry White. Jean-Ann said to me a lot of children were conceived listening to... Well, when their parents were listening to Barry White, I presume that's right. Great stuff. Let's welcome back to the programme my friend Hayden Hewitt. You know him, of course, because he is one of the founders of LiveLeak.com for years doing that which the mainstream media wasn't doing, allowing uncensored content to be uploaded to that site by people from, well, from, I don't know, from Kilimanjaro to Timbuktu, from Galway to New York City, people putting videos up there, journalists, stuff coming out of war zones and stuff, hugely important website, co-founder of that, also heavily involved in the Trigger Warning Project, triggerwarning.com, and AltFeed as well. The Trigger Warning Programme returns this Thursday, tomorrow night, usually around about 10 o'clock. We'll get the clarification during the rest of this hour. Welcome back to the programme, Hayden Hewitt.
Hello, mate. Thanks for having me.
And thanks for doing my website.
Ace, my pleasure. You know, it's turned into my ongoing baby project now. Another one.
You've done a cracking job on it. It's really functional. And it's just what the doctor ordered.
Yeah. And, it'll grow. It'll grow. And every time I learn something new, it'll go in because, you know, it's what you do, isn't it?
It's what you do.
Fun with things and develop them and support people, help people and do cool stuff.
Good. Let's do the ad now before we talk about serious stuff. Because of everything he's done and previously, I absolutely recommend, if I could go on to Google and leave a review for Hayden, I would, that if you do need a website building, that you at least allow him to quote you. He will be better in terms of price than some of the bigger companies who do it, but you'll get a lot more care and attention from him than you would from a corporation or a company. So I do recommend you get in touch with him if you need to create a site for your business. Now, let's talk about serious things. Mentioned to you this morning, just on a whim, that I've been talking recently on this programme about people who might want to wait and see before they have a coronavirus vaccine. There are people fall into two or three categories. There are people who would want to wait and see because they're concerned that it's all happened a bit quickly. Then there are others who would never have a vaccine ever, and that's fair enough, that's their thing. I think, without putting words in your mouth, you said to me this morning that you might have liked to wait and see, but it might not be that easy. And this is a problem for me as well, not for me personally, but I have friends and the woman that I share my life with who would maybe be a bit like you, maybe want to wait and see, but it might come to, they might be compelled to take it. Where are you on this? How does it affect you? How might it affect you? What are you going
to
do?
I suppose if you have to look at everything, your best case, worst case. I think for me, the worst case scenario would be obviously the virtual social credit system. You can't go here. You can't do this. You can't do that. Now, if I was back in my 20s or even my early 30s, when I didn't have the responsibilities I have of a young son who is the center of my universe, I would probably just wait regardless to see what would happen. I'm not saying I won't have it, but I'd wait. I wait to see what happens. But if they brought a system in like that, my son would have to suffer for my stance on this. And that's something a lot of people have to take in. And then you've got people who might not be able to work if they take it. And it's very easy sometimes to have your stance on things and demand that other people comply. If I can do it, you can do it. And not everybody can. And I'm seeing a lot of people attacking not just people that are anti-vax online, but also people in that middle ground of, I might have to. And we shouldn't be attacking anybody.
No, of course not.
No. You know, you've got the rabid pro-vaxxers, you've got rabid anti-vaxxers, and you've got a whole lot of people in the middle that are concerned, excuse me, worried, unsure, and have the day-to-day responsibilities that we all have under an ever more oppressive and authoritarian government making life ever more difficult. You know, and we're at a point where I think a lot of people would be like, well, just give me the damn thing so I can start getting back to some kind of normality.
How would you feel then? Because you're not an anti-vaxxer. I know that for years you've been debating pretty much all of the time, responsibly and professionally debating people who are, you know, completely against vaccines and say that all vaccines are harmful. And you've put the other side of it to people, which is very important and very healthy. This time around, you look at this and you think, this is a bit quick and a bit sudden.
I've got to wait. The normal concerns, you know, this is a vaccine, number one, a type of vaccine that's never been approved for humans before. And, you know, I'm not on the side of going, that means it's not safe, because I don't know. I read as much as everybody else, and I can't reach a definitive conclusion at this point. But it is very, very fast. Now, my parents have already had this. They just upped and did it, because my old man, as you know, he's on dialysis three times a week, so they offered it him, and he took it, and my mum's like 83. They had it. Now, my mum, no ill effects whatsoever. My dad got a little poorly after his first shot, but to be honest, anything will send him under these days.
Right.
But nothing after the second. So they've had both doses, and they're cracking along. You know, they're right as paint. But we do know that just because of how medicines work, some people are going to be very damaged by it, because that's life. Nothing's safe. Nothing's 100% safe ever when it comes to medicine. As you know, aspirin can kill you if you suddenly your body decides it doesn't like it. So I want to see how many people have ill effects. Now, my age range, my health, they'll not be getting around to me till late summer at the earliest anyway, from what I can gather. But like everybody, you just want to wait and see. But we've got to see what this government does. To try and compel everybody, because there comes a point where most people can't afford to lose everything to take a stand. You know, I can't. I've done too many years of doing without for taking a stand and getting spat on for it. Yeah. I've had enough, you know, so I have to look at it. But at this point in time, it's not happening now. So we'll see.
It's a terrible position to be in for anybody who isn't certain, who can't be certain that it's safe because of the breakneck speed that it was rushed into existence. It's a dreadful situation to be in, whereby you don't want to take it, not because you are vehemently anti-vaccine, but because you're just not sure about it. And a lot of people remember. And a lot of people remember that the likes of Gabriel Scally and others were telling people that the pandemics jab 10 or 11 years ago was fine. It wasn't fine. That did unimaginable damage to people. And in fact, the tip of the iceberg, we don't know how many people that vaccine injured.
There is. That's the thing, isn't it, for me? Yeah. It's not. I don't think people are going to be, you know, en masse genetically terribly damaged by it. I don't see that. However, I want to know what the percentages are, because I don't like gambling. I don't gamble. I'm not a gambling man. So I like to know what the odds are, and I like to think about them very carefully.
Yeah.
Like I do most things. You know what, I chew everything over endlessly. It's my nature.
Well, you're an old school journalist. So, you listen to everything and you make your own mind up. On that, can I ask you a quick question on that? I won't be interrupting you all the time. When,
interrupt me as much as
no,
you
no,
like.
No, I won't. No, but when this German guy, Sacharit Bhakti, who came on this program about 4 months ago, Dolores Cahill, who's got a absolutely squeaky clean record as an academic. Now, Dolores Cahill gets harassed in Ireland because she's allegedly nationalistic in her politics. I couldn't give a shit, really, if she's nationalistic or not. It's got nothing to do with her academic credentials. They believe, as does Sherry Tenpenny, again, who's very, very credible, they're convinced that this thing will act as some sort of sleeper thing, that it'll prime your immune system in a way that when other coronaviruses inevitably appear in the future, other bits of viruses turn up, it could cause your body to attack itself violently and do you, you know, internally incredible damage. Now, when I hear these people, can I just say this before I shut up and get right out of your way? I don't instinctively believe these people. Now, when I had Dolores Cahill on and Bakhti, I didn't say, oh, I believe you. I listened to them and I said, well, what about this and what about that? I don't instinctively believe them. But because of their qualifications, I couldn't possibly take that vaccine.
Well, I'm going to tell you what I do believe. And as you know, I'm not lightly given to any kind of conspiratorial thinking as a rule.
I know, of course not.
But I believe that every year we're going to have a brand new COVID vaccination.
Yeah.
Every single year a new one will be available for one of these new strains of this fast mutating virus. And this will be our new flu jab. So we'll never know which concoction causes the damage, because we probably won't find out for a generation. Now, I'm not having any more kids.
Yeah.
But they'll be young. My son probably won't get this vaccination for many years yet. But there's a lot of people in their 20s and stuff that might.
Yeah.
And when they do, we'll find, like thalidomide, I know we can't compare that to a vaccine, I get it, but as an analogy, no one knew that was going to be bad till people started pumping out kids with flippers for arms.
Yeah.
You know, no one knew. So, God, who knows, Richie? You know,
who knows?
It's one of those situations.
Let's go back.
I envy the people that are certain.
Yeah.
I envy them. But I just don't have
that. I'm not certain. I'm not certain at all. But when I hear, when I see, I mean, I know that Vernon is not practicing anymore. But again, he had an unblemished record as a GP in the short time that he practiced. But at the end of the day, he's written dozens and dozens of books over the years on these issues, and he's never been, you know, annihilated by an academic or a doctor. And he's certain, Vernon, that there's a good chance. He's not saying that everybody who gets this is screwed, but that there's a good chance that it could do unspeakable things to you. And well, I want to go back to what you said, because this is the terrible thing for me. You're not an anti-vaxxer. You know that vaccines have played their part in history in improving human health. You know this. But at the same time, you've got this beautiful young lad, and you and you might end up having to take it, because if you didn't, it might have consequences for him. That's just disgusting to me.
It's tyrannical.
It's tyrannical.
It's tyrannical. But it's, you know, what do you do? What do you do?
I don't know.
It's one of those things, you know, obviously I consider and I think about, and then I push it away. Because there's nothing much I can do to change it. You know, I can't fight this one. What can I do? You know, I'm all well and good when it comes to letting people post stuff.
Yeah.
But I can't fix this. And my problem as ever is everyone separates into factions.
Yeah, yeah.
And I always find myself somewhere in the middle, no matter what. So, yeah, I foresee that I'll just take a kicking from both sides for a while.
Oh, no, you won't. No, I think people have come around to, more and more people are coming around to understanding that you must engage with everybody, because the enemy is not the chap or the woman on social media who's arguing with you. The enemy are the lunatics that are pushing these agendas. Those people are the enemy. And I want to go back to social crediting. Folks, we've got Hayden Hewitt from LiveLeak.com and Trigger Warning and Altfeed. You should check out Altfeed, by the way. It's altfeed.org, is it, or .com? .com, isn't it?
.org.
.org, yeah, I was right the first time. Check out altfeed.org. You, more quicker than anybody else, you cottoned on to social crediting and that it would be rolled out, the idea of it would be rolled out by the private sector. You are spot on. You got that bang on. And, of course, social crediting, we look at the Chinese. This is where we will be compelled to be good citizens, by this totalitarian government, because if we're not, it'll have consequences for us. It'll hit us in the pocket. You were onto that very early.
Yeah, it seems inevitable, and everything in society is moving that way. What's happening up in Scotland with that bizarre... I mean, hate crime laws in general are just bloody stupid.
Why? Tell us why. Remind us why they're stupid.
Think about this. The majority of murders are spur of the moment. The majority. Why is it worse for me to kill a woman who is a lesbian because she's a lesbian than another woman for something else? What we need is fair law. We need law, not different kinds of law. It's divisive. And then up in Scotland, they're basically, although we already do it to a degree, they're going to criminalise speech and thought.
Yeah. In the home. In the home.
That's the most insidious, despicable thing. And I speak to people and they're telling me, well, it will make society nicer. And I'm like, well, where did we go wrong? That I can meet another human being that thinks more government interference into how we think is acceptable. How did we get here? And it's inevitable that the public will support, well, you're a bad person, so you shouldn't be able to get a train to London. You shouldn't be able to get anywhere to live because you're a bad person. Because a bad person, when I was growing up, was someone that did harm, a genuine racist, you know, a real Nazi. I grew up, you know, with the National Front going on. Real bad assholes. But I don't remember anyone trying to destroy the lives. The idea was to try and turn them around.
Yeah.
You know, to try and, you know, there's some people you can never converse with. But, you know, there's other people you can reach. That was the goal that I remember. That's what I grew up around. And now a Nazi is someone who's a bit conservative.
Yeah.
Who doesn't want to say chest feeding.
Yeah.
I mean, I get a lot of grief about, you know, the trans thing. And you know me as well as I couldn't give a shit.
No, you couldn't give
about,
an arse.
About
no,
trans.
No.
I've employed trans people. I've known trans. I don't care. I'm not pro or anti. Live your life. Be happy. But the movement behind it now is so insidious and so indicative.
Hey, listen, before you get into that,
the horror going on.
Before you get into the insidiousness and the indicative, what's going on, I want to hear that. Just to go back to what you said about 20 seconds ago, you did tell me this a couple of years ago. You were basically supervising, you were employing a couple of young trans kids. And as far as I understand, they didn't have any interest in this nonsense, did they?
No, and I hired one, and I won't say her name, but the pronouns, just before we go on, pronouns, I think they're a sign of respect.
Right.
So I will use them if I think you're worthy of that level of respect.
Right, yeah.
But she came in, and during the interview, it was very clear she was quite awkward, been turned down for a lot of jobs, was hideously overqualified for the job. So, of course, I was like, well, have the job. And then a female to male trans, or, you know, whatever it's called now.
Yeah,
I'm not
sure.
But he came in and said, I believe you're very progressive. And I had to explain that not really. No, I just don't care. I just, if you can do the job, that's all I care about.
Yeah, absolutely.
And the male to female was a little more edgy with people.
Right.
Especially when the hormones, you know, and everything else.
Right.
And a little more right on. But we did have to have words about that sometimes, of, you know, like, calm it down.
Well, fair enough. If the male to female was having transitionary drugs or treatment, fair enough.
I think she was also a little more
bit of a chip on the shoulder, maybe. Fair enough.
Yeah, a little bit. But, you know, everyone rubbed along. We had words a few times. It was like, you're going to have to chill out because no one complains about you using the toilet. No one does anything. So people are bust and, you know, just trying to be reasonable, but overall it was fine. I mean, where I lived as a kid, there was an old couple across the way. They had a son that became a woman, and when I was riding around my bike, I used to watch her fix her Jag XJS she had. And when I had a motorbike, we'd often sit there, I'd be tinkering with my bike, you know, she'd be tinkering with the car. It never occurred to me to have a problem. I don't care. I'm not interested. You live the life that makes you happiest as long as you're not infringing on anybody else's.
Rusty on Facebook today, somebody called Rusty said, when did Live and Let Live become, you must publicly signal your acceptance of me?
That's the worst thing, isn't it? It's this affirmation culture.
Yeah.
It's absolutely terrifying because it's like, well, why does what happens inside your head mean anything to me?
Yeah.
Well, I feel bad if you say these things. Well, do you know what? Feel bad. We all do. I live with it. There's a million things every day that burn me inside and out.
Yeah.
And it's not just trans. I just use that as an example. It's throughout the whole of society now, and this whole, you must be like this, you must be like that.
Binary choice, right? Again, you've talked a lot about this. Hey, folks, if you want to learn a little bit about this, do follow Hayden on Twitter, because he's been following this issue with every other issue, but he's focused on this particular issue for a couple of years or maybe more. And he's had great interviews with people on Trigger Warning, which is triggerwarning.tv. The Trigger Warning channel on YouTube is easy to find. Let's stay with this for a moment then, because you have, of course, you've got young Junior, of course, in the home, and he's a young school goer. And before this began, I suppose, if you and your lovely wife, if you'd have had Junior, say, 15, 20 years ago, this wouldn't be an issue. But you have him in this era, and he's
something
going...
very interesting, though, Richie.
Well, it is, isn't it? And now do you...
I'm going to tell you that you're going to find very interesting.
Wow. So my question would have been, and you're going to get into it anyway, would have been, do you and the wife then have to pay close attention to what he might be being told by his teachers, for example?
Yes and no. Now, obviously, we don't talk about this in the home. Not because we don't want to. It just doesn't come up. It doesn't with eight-year-olds, you know? So he's never heard my opinions on it. You know, he's asked what certain things are when he's seen them on telly and explaining. But what I find fascinating with kids is when I was young, on Blue Peter, which was, I don't even know if it's still going, hugely popular children's program. Everybody watched it. They brought a man on called Joey Deacon, who was cataclysmically disabled. In a chair, couldn't speak properly, made a very distinctive sound. And their idea was, this will teach the children to empathise.
Yeah, that it's okay. Yeah.
Right. The next morning, in every schoolyard, every single one across the whole of the country, everyone was making Joey Deacon noises and calling people Joeys.
Right.
Okay. Because kids aren't adults.
No, they're not.
Kids are vicious little bastards.
Vicious little bastards.
And so, you know, whilst we don't encounter these things, I know at school, like, they watched News Round the other day because my son came out of school. He went, Dad, what's a lesbian?
Did he?
Yeah.
How did you take that one on? what was the response?
Said, okay, where do you hear about this? Now, I think he's been told before, but I said, well, a lesbian is a woman that likes other women. He said, yeah, that's what my teacher said. And he went, that's gross. I said, well, not really. People live a life. And I said, you know, and he said, well, what's LGBT? I said, well, a lesbian, gay there. And he said, men that like each other. I went, yeah. I said, B is for bisexual. He said, what are those? I said, people that like both. And T is for transgender. What's that? Well, you know, if men think the women think the men. He's nodding sagely. He's nodding sagely. And I'm thinking, oh, God, how are that one? Good. Then he went, In class, one of the other boys was talking about it. So I said, Dad, I said, I'm not gay. And do you know what this boy said? I said, go on. He went, no, you're not. And then he pointed at another lad and went, but he is. And everyone started laughing. Kids, you know, kids don't work like we think they do. You know, they look at things on face value. They will say things at face value. And the only thing I teach my son, I think it's the most important thing, show respect to those that show it to you, regardless of everything else. Nothing else matters. You know, and to his credit, he did say, when he said that such and such was gay, I didn't laugh, Dad.
Good man.
Yeah, he did. Of course he laughed.
He did anyway. Tell him, Porky.
Of course he did. He should have won a couple of points and get another PlayStation.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I'm, you've got to be careful what they raise in school. But now the government has said that Stonewall shouldn't be having an influence in how kids are taught. They've been very firm on that.
Now, Stonewall, remind us, that is a LGBT charity, right? It's a rights charity.
Yeah, it used to be, you know, like an LGB sort of activist, basically. I spoke to one of the guys on Twitter who was at the original Stonewall riots, you know, and now they've been kind of taken over by the trans agenda, to the detriment that they feel of lesbian and gay people and bisexuals, who apparently always just get ignored anyway.
The trans agenda is celebrating wildly today because the Brighton and Sussex NHS Hospitals Trust is removing terms like breastfeeding. So let me ask you this thing, because you are genuinely a, when I say moderate, what moderate means, it's old school journalistic approach. You tend to weigh everything up and listen to everybody. So on the one hand, you've got Richard Bergen, the Labour MP, who's blaming the Daily Mail for this, that this is not really a problem. And on the other hand, you've got people saying that this is eradicating women. What's the truth, according to Hayden Hewitt?
The truth is that we're being compelled to erase 50% of the population's place. This is what got me into it. I witnessed women being bullied for saying, no, we're women. You know, they've had that taken away from them, having spaces taken away from them. And what makes it worse is that these activists, they use the image of the transsexual, you know, the person that is going through the whole shebang, that women clearly have some kind of tacit understanding with anyway when it came to having a pee. So they hide behind that, but the push is for self-ID. So if you present as a male and you are male-bodied, you'll be able to go into female spaces and sports and go, no, but I'm a woman. Now, on Twitter now, if you say you're not a woman, you will be banned.
Will you actually be banned by Twitter for saying
that? Yeah. I've been suspended for that a couple of times, and I was suspended last week because I got into it. Yeah. With one of the more demented fringe players, who, by the way, are not indicative of transsexual people. At all.
No.
And I said about male and female, it's sex, not gender. And this person said to me, you know that you will be suspended if you say I'm not female. So I went, okay, fine, you're not female. And 12 hour suspension for biological fact.
For telling somebody with a penis that you're not female.
Yeah, I was being hateful. So I'm just going to continue being hateful. And do you know what it is? Everyone says, like I say, what is it, you and the trans thing? It's not. Any group that tries to compel me to go against fact and decency whilst hiding behind a cloak of assumed moral privilege of actual transsexual people and always playing the victim and trying every shitty trope in the book, I'm not going to take a knee. I'm not going to do as I'm told. Ban me, big deal. Wow.
Yeah.
What's the Twitter account? Who cares? Gina, and they'll celebrate if you do, but I'd be worse.
It's dreadful. Ban. This is dreadful stuff, this cancel culture. Jean Anne is listening to this with great interest, the actress who nearly bottled me in a bar in Manchester a few years ago for saying actor. Yeah, for saying actor, referencing a female actress. She says, it's anti-woman, she says, I could put it better, but the ongoing dishonouring of womanhood, I think, is part of the agenda, or am I going too far? Well, that makes sense to me.
One of the people behind it, I wish I'd remembered her name. I'm going to say her, it's not her. Very wealthy in the tech sector, believes in transhumanism to a huge degree. She's already developed the robot, but she wants her wife's consciousness to be placed in, and that very much, you know, the people deny it and say it's like, oh, that's your George Soros moment or whatever. This is there. This person has written books about it.
Yeah,
they put a lot of money in it, and you know, you can go back further and you say, oh, it comes from critical theory and certainly from queer theory, and I think it was second wave feminism is responsible for a lot of this, for opening the door to them by saying, let's do away with gender constructs and things, which in itself is no bad thing, but the way it's been interpreted, it hasn't worked out too well for the second wave feminists. And it's opened the door to basically a very tiny portion of a tiny portion of society who have terrifying leverage. And now we're seeing that spilling out into everyone on the far, far left, with, you know, the cancel culture's run wild, this diminishing of the meaning of the word woman. You know, women fought for rights for so long, and now they're being told to move over for men. You know, just
move over for men. Yeah. Yeah.
There's examples out there of guys that were shit at sports. You know, they placed 200 in the world, 300 in the world, and all of a sudden they're champions because they said they were a woman.
That bloke who said he's a woman, who became a champion cyclist.
Oh, McKinnon, yeah.
McKinnon, yeah.
Another one, you got to be very careful how you approach them, because he seems to have a lot of friends at Twitter.
Yeah, I got banned by McKinnon for asking for an interview. I swear to God.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, of course you would.
I said, listen, any chance you might come on and chat with me? I'm very interested. Banned. Blocked. Sorry, not banned. Blocked.
They'll block anyone who won't take a knee. The ones that usually sue and slander people, like the ones going after Sarah Phillimore at the minute, accusing her of being anti-Semite, things like one of them, a member of the Scottish Parliament, they just tend to block me. They don't threaten me with suing because, A, they might know I'm popular, and B, how do they defame the guy that's been on telly defending beheading?
Yes. There's nothing they can do to you. Hayden has been grilled by Jeremy Paxman over the beheading videos on liveleak.com. So there's nothing they can do to you. Let me just give a time check there. It's 22 minutes to the top of the hour. This is flying by. Hayden's going to stay with me till about 5 to 7. It's flying by. Because this is hugely important. Joe Biden.
So every time we talk, this is what happens, whether it's on the phone or on a show.
That's because you're a very interesting guy who's got a well-rounded and well-thought-out opinion on most subjects. Now, Joe Biden couldn't wait to, with the stroke of a pen, erase some of the better things that Donald Trump had done during
his
presidency.
Isn't that amazing, though? Amazing. I was watching this, and I'm thinking, because I mentioned it, and promptly I was accused of being a Trump supporter, which is pretty, pretty funny from where I sit. He came into power. He could have sorted out the children separated from parents at the border. He could have done that with an executive order. Instead, they've ordered more cages, basically. But the first thing he did was say, all right, women, move over, girls. I'm thinking, dude, that's not even a large portion of your voters. But then I realized the virtue signal is huge. It's huge. What virtue signaling points he won? And then he appointed his Secretary of Health.
Levine. Somebody called Levine.
Yes. Who approves of giving children puberty blockers?
Who approves of it? Somebody described by Gerald Celente as having more chins than a Chinese phone book.
That's probably trans.
And it's unfair. It's unfair to comment on people's appearances, and I don't generally.
No, it's
do
not.
That.
It's perfectly acceptable. There's nothing wrong with it. Come on, I get it. It's hilarious when they all pile on me. A load of angry people with blue hair. Sometimes 30, 40, 50 of them at a time on Twitter.
Yeah,
and it always makes me laugh because one of them said, "This will teach you a lesson, won't it?" It's like, not really, dude. I've been trolling the internet since the 90s. I've dealt with bigger and badder and everything. Sorry, Rich, could you hold on 1 second?
Absolutely. I love live radio. The Hewitt household is a madhouse. You've got a young lad running around there, Hayden Jr. You've got.
I can't do anything right now. I'm just on the radio, but. Is it being annoying? I will come and deal with it soon.
Say hello to Hayden Jr. from the Richie Allen Show family. How are you doing, young man?
He's all right. His PS4 won't turn on.
He's PS4, huh?
That's an emergency.
Of course, it's an emergency.
That's an emergency, to the point I've actually forgotten what I was saying.
No, we were talking about the appointment of people like Levine and the puberty blockers, and you said it was virtue signalling by Biden.
Massively so, and he got a lot of points for it. He got a lot of points for it, and because I pointed it out, I was a massive Trump supporter.
Yeah.
Which amuses me no end. It really does, because what I love saying to people is, well, tell me one thing he did that was really bad.
Yeah.
Well, the riot. All right. While he was president, tell me one thing he did that was terrible.
He didn't incite the riot, though. Listen, you've spent many years discussing language. He didn't.
At the worst, they could maybe find some small amount of culpability for people getting excited.
Yeah.
At the worst.
By the way, do you subscribe? Can I ask you this? I'm going to get you to go all conspiratorial there.
I'll do that.
Some of my journalist guests, people like Stephen Lendman, I couldn't have any more respect for a writer than I do for Stephen Lindman. Stephen says that whether you're a conspiracy theorist or not, now he has no time for Trump, none. He said that it was quite obvious that the riot at the Capitol was allowed to happen. That was a stand down situation. I looked at it carefully. Yeah. Do you agree with that?
Let's put it this way. There's one thing some people did say that I agree with. If that had been a Black Lives Matter riot, that a lot more than one person would have been shot.
Yeah.
That was meant to happen. And also, when people go and listen to the language we hear, insurrection.
Insurrection at the Capitol.
And when you watch the raw video, which, by the way, is being removed very quickly, apart from there was some disgusting people in the group, we know that. But overall, it was a load of boomers walking in an orderly fashion through a building taking selfies. You know when you see the guy with those horns?
That's right.
And he's screaming in all the photos. And you see the video and he's going, hi, guys.
I'm stealing placemats and stuff. It was fantastic, wasn't it?
My favourite was the guy that took the podium.
Yeah.
He looked so happy.
Oh, he was delighted.
He wasn't in the next photo I saw of him, which was the mugshot. People are demanding, like, he deserves 11 years. He's like, oh, come on.
Give me a break, yeah.
A few hours of community service.
It's not his fault that security were told to stand down by somebody and turn the blind eye to
him. Also, the only people that were killed were not the people everyone's saying were going to be killed. You know, a couple of people had heart attacks, granted. That lady was shot in the throat by a Secret Service agent for climbing through a window, even though she had six or seven riot police behind her. And of course, there's that one gentleman who died after tasing himself in the testicles, which, you know, sometimes for some people, shit just happens.
He did actually tase himself in the testicle, didn't he?
He was going to check out early from something. That was not a person meant to be here for a full 4 score and 10 or whatever. You know, that wasn't on the cards for him. Anyone that does that, it's going to happen at some point.
Yeah, at some stage in his life, he's broken his back, falling off his roof, trying to tile it. No doubt about it. This guy was this was what was that film, Hayden? This was that great film, Final Destination. This guy was being stalked by death.
Death was after him, and he just happened to die in the most unfortunate circumstances. Wow. But yeah, look how we're being sold it as some kind of terrible coup and this massive riot, and nobody was really in that much danger. It was all very reasonable.
No, and it's led now to Washington appearing to have been shut down. Some of the US YouTubers are commenting on this idea that DC is kind of dark at the moment around about this Trump impeachment. I mean, what do you think is going on there?
I think they're desperately trying to convince the GOP folks to go along with it. That's what they're trying to do. Just kind of go along, make it look as bad as it can for as long as they can. Because the last thing anybody in Washington wants is Trump popping up again in 4 years. They don't want that.
Yeah.
Because these next 4 years, I hate making predictions because someone will play this back to me and go, look how many times you were wrong.
But you were all wrong. I'm wrong 1,000 times a day, despite my earlier proclamation.
Trump Muslim ban, which wasn't a Muslim travel ban, but it was from certain countries that Obama had drawn up, by the way. And again,
ones that were blown to smithereens by the UK, the French, the US, the Israelis. Yeah.
We live in a world where now I'm having to defend the man that shits.
I know.
Golden. But you know, I predict that Biden will kill a lot more Muslims than Trump ever thought of doing.
Biden will be given a war, do you think, when all this Rona stuff is over? They usually give the Democrats wars, don't they?
Yeah, well, he loves war.
Historically,
he loves killing some brown people.
Yeah, he does, yeah.
And so someone told me, well, what happens with Kamala Harris? But she loves imprisoning black people.
Oh, she loves bending the rules when she was working as a prosecutor.
She shafted people.
Missing evidence and all that sort of stuff.
Everything she could to keep them in prison.
Yeah.
These are not good people. These are career politicians. They're not good people. I have no time for Donald Trump. He's a despicable man. But you know what? As far as presidents go,
it was no worse than any of the rest of them. No. And what about Biden and the loose hands around young girls? Anything to be concerned about there?
Well, he does love the smell of a child, doesn't he?
Yeah.
I'm going to let everyone draw their own conclusions about it. Luckily, he's too old to do much about it these days. Have you seen it when they make the poor old? Go on, Joe, jog to show everyone you're still full of vitality.
Yeah.
There's this poor old man, pumped to the gills full of whatever kind of medical grade speed that they've got him on.
And that's a good point, Aidan. There's a good chance he won't see out the term. A good chance. No, a very good chance.
They're going to have the first female president soon. Although, Lavina said, maybe I'll be one of the first women presidents. No, mate. You won't. You've got a cock.
This is it, yeah. Do you remember that when that started? Do you remember that?
I'm already slipping into tomorrow night, aren't I?
You're already in trigger warning mode. Who started that? Joan Rivers started it, didn't she?
I'm not sure, to be honest. I'm not sure. I just, when I start talking about this stuff, just it has to be hilarious, because otherwise you'd be at a loss for where the world's going.
I have listeners who, well, not now, but previously sent me scathing emails for not having the courage to say that Michelle Obama was a transvestite. And I'm like, but I don't know that she is. I mean, what do you mean the courage? So I saw all these Joan Rivers videos. They were hilarious. Joan Rivers is a very, very, very funny woman. And whether she was serious or not, I don't know.
It doesn't matter. She's a comedian. You don't have to worry about whether they're serious or not. Just laugh at them. For what it's worth, I don't believe Michelle Obama is a bloke. But do you know what? I've been wrong about more important things.
And you and me both. It's 12 minutes to the top of the hour. You should check out triggerwarning.tv, altfeed.org, which is a brand new platform. I'll challenge you now, before you tell us about the return of Trigger Warning, I'm going to challenge you. I'm going to give you 40 seconds to do you don't have to put on the voice now. You don't have to do the macho man Randy Savage voice or anything. But you've got the talent to do it. Give me the wrestling promo version of why people should check out Altfeed. What is Altfeed and why should people check it out?
Instead of doing the wrestling promo, let me just be really straight and honest about where it came from and what it's for. I first developed Altfeed as a place for myself and Daz, who works on some of the stuff with me, a playground. We wanted a playground, so we built a place we could blog. Then we put a radio station on it that we still criminally do very little on, although this is going out on it. And then we added this, and then we added that, and then I thought, maybe I can open it for other people because I love a platform. I do love a platform. So if you go to altfeed.org, right now you can use it as a blogging platform. It's absolutely free. There's no tracking. You don't have to give personal information, nothing. Make an account. You can blog. They all go sequentially on the front page. There's no algorithms. No one's messing with you. It's also got a small social media side like Richie's site has. You can make groups in there. You can work in groups, have your own little forums. You can do as much or as little as you want. And we're looking into more and more video options as well, carrying our own videos at first. And then if it's feasible, opening it up for more people to use. We don't want to be the new YouTube. We don't want to be the new anything. It's somewhere for you to use and hang out and make use of if you can. Brilliant. With a very simple rule set. So join today. It's free.
Do altfeed.org. I haven't yet created an account there, only because I just don't have the time most days, but I will do for the show. Of course I will. I'm going to say this. I didn't say it the last time you were on, but I've got to say this. I've not met anybody through the course of my meandering around the independent media that is more committed to platforming voices of people that you completely and utterly disagree with. It still astonishes me. You taught me, really. When I say you taught me, I wasn't too concerned about platforming those who I disagreed with. Now, let me explain that. I have always sought out people I disagree with to come on the radio show so that I could have a good old debate with them. I've always done that. But outside of that, I haven't done an awful lot to make sure that I'm supporting the voices of those that I don't agree with. But I've changed a lot because of you. That's an extraordinary thing.
It's a very simple credo. I mean, I know when we look at Live League, that's had more censorship, but so much of that is financially driven. I'm trying to keep some of those guys who do take a wage out of it with a roof over their heads. That's been hugely complex. But overall, I have a very simple way of looking at this. And in as much as I'm as biased as anybody else, I have my own biases, I have my own thoughts, opinions, politics. But a platform should not. a platform is somewhere for other people to voice and their opinions and share things. And if the platform takes a side, it is just a publisher. It's just another shitty publisher in the world. It's like I quite like Minds.com for a social media site. Spoke to the guy that owns it. Great guy, very similar visions. But, you know, I could never get on with Gab, where he says God gave us Trump and things like that. I can't deal with that. And I know they allow everybody, but not everybody goes there. And Parlay, I wasn't keen on the UI or anything, but also very predominantly one-sided, which Twitter's becoming. But also, I've got to be honest, the leftists cry a lot more than conservatives, so I have a lot more fun on Twitter.
Yeah.
But I believe in platforms that are there. They're a tool. A good platform is a tool. Like AltFeed, you know, our rules are very clear and very simply stated, not pages of jargon. It's just, there it is. If you can't voice an opinion within that, I don't know where you can go.
Brilliant. Hey, listen, let me ask you as quick as you can now. I don't want to be cutting off your train of thought there. We'll get into this again in the future, this platforming and deplatforming and why it's so important. Trigger warning is back tomorrow. What can people expect from it?
Well, with trigger warning, as you know, I did contemplate knocking it on the head.
Yeah, well, and I'm glad
you
didn't.
Sanitized a bit. We had some great interviews and I had you on. But there's been a lot of soul searching. I've been on top of mountains wearing leather loincloths, communing with the gods. And basically, we're going to be running live on YouTube. There'll be no replay on YouTube. It'll be put on alt feed where I can't be deplatformed. Because it's time to stop being so nice. I've been very nice for the past year, and that's very difficult for me. So I think it's time we got a bit more raw. Brilliant. And a bit more honest. And people will be welcome when we say the lines are open. You can call in, audio only, because nobody likes being on camera.
Yeah.
But, you know, we'll get people's opinions, but predominantly I'm going to be a little more forthright in how we do things.
God only knows what that's going to look like. You're going to be a bit more
tomorrow night. It's going to be very vulgar, very foul, but it's going to be very honest.
And around 10 o'clock, isn't it, usually?
10 o'clock on youtube.com/triggerwarningtv for as long as we're allowed on there. And, yeah, remember, it's only my opinion. It's not the word of God. It's not a commandment to you. It's just my opinion. And if you don't like it, tell me why. We can have a fight about it.
Brilliant, buddy. Brilliant.
And we can part as friends.
Listen, thanks for being very candid earlier on about the vaccine and maybe taking it and looking at it and all that. It's very important to people here.
Thank you for having me on, mate.
Not at all. Altfeed.org, check it out. It's brand new. It's very, very interesting. It's very timely. Triggerwarning.tv. It's youtube.com/triggerwarningtv. And tomorrow night at 10 o'clock, I'll be watching. It's the only thing that keeps me up, to be honest, in the week, is when Hayden is on. You might hear from Graham Booz as well. And as he said, if you've got something to contribute, do give him a shout. His opinions might be, there might be opinions that you might not agree with. But what he's not going to do is he's not going to try and embarrass you or make you look like an idiot when you speak to him. He's old school. No. You don't do that.
I save that for the people that deserve it.
For the people that
unless you come on and you're being a complete idiot, in which case, hey,
you might deserve
it. Shit happens.
Thanks for everything you've done over the years to platform people, including myself. And I'm delighted with the website. So again, folks, if you need a website doing, building, I will go as far as to say that I will guarantee you're never going to get done over by Hayden Hewitt. But in some bizarre alternate universe where you did, I'll cover it. I will. He's great. If you need websites doing or building or rejigging or revamping, get in touch with him. He's competitive and he's a very talented guy. Thanks for coming back, buddy. Love the chat tonight.
It's been my pleasure, dude. I'll catch you later. Bye-bye, everyone.
Go and look after that PS4 game now with the boy.
I'm going to go and try and fix it now, yeah.
Legend. Cheers, Hayden. Bye for now. The brilliant Hayden Hewitt, live on Wednesday's Richie Allen radio show. Always great to have him on the programme. Now, tomorrow, our beautiful but very senior German Shepherd Cross Jazz is having an ultrasound early tomorrow afternoon in the vets, and it's going to require a mild sedation, and it's going to require transporting her there and back. It might mess around with tomorrow's programme. I know in these crazy times, I know that one or two of you will be disappointed if I'm not with you tomorrow at 5 o'clock, but I might not be. I'll keep you updated tomorrow via social media, right? Via Twitter, via Facebook. But it is very important. She's not well, and she's got to have an ultrasound on her heart ahead of next week going under again, this time to have teeth removed and stuff like that. So it might mean that I'm not with you tomorrow. I don't like it any more than you don't like it, because I love being with you. But if I'm not with you, you'll understand, won't you? And you might say, oh, could you do a show on Friday? I'm meeting my playmate. I'm having a play date. I'm being allowed out for a play date on Friday with my friend Michael from Fallowfield, who I've not seen for a while. And I've arranged that for a couple of weeks, so I can't do a show on Friday afternoon. So look, it might be Sunday morning before you hear from me again. But look, something might materialise tomorrow. We'll see. I'll keep you posted, is what I'm telling you. I'll keep you posted. Thanks for the tweets tonight that have come in. Thanks to Susan for sharing that information about her mum and the adverse vaccine reaction. Thanks a million to Dean Smith for reminding me about his uncle Trevor. And I just want to reiterate again, I'm not telling you or anybody else what they should or shouldn't do. That's very irresponsible. And I'm not irresponsible as a broadcaster. I've explained why I won't take it. Would never take it. And what my close friends are thinking. But you've got to make these decisions. And I always recommend, always, and I will always recommend, that you have a conversation with your GP. Regardless of what you might think of him or her, have a conversation. I don't have a medical qualification to my name. Okay, so I'm just saying that. And I'm not covering myself. I'm not doing that to cover myself. I don't have to cover myself with anybody. But I don't have the right, shouldn't have the right, to influence you when it comes to medical matters or your own body. You're intelligent. You're a grown-up. You're not stupid. You can do your own background checking on various medicines and on the people who recommend those medicines. And then you'll make your own informed decision, right? That's what I'm saying. Okay, right. That's pretty much it. Nothing else to tell you. I'll keep you posted about tomorrow, Thursday. Thanks again to Hayden Hewitt. If I'm not with you tomorrow, you'll understand. Right, okay. Stay in touch with richieallen.co.uk. That's my website. And vernoncoleman.com. Vernon is documenting meticulously incidents and reports of adverse events coming in from around the world. He's doing it. He's updating it every day. And the big update is on Friday. All right. Look after yourselves and one another. I've been the BBG. Thanks for being with me this Wednesday. Until next time. Bye.